For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
High noon here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keith.
How about that?
Jerome, I love that. Mayo. We're always looking to get better.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot. Besides on deadline day.
Look, these guys are on the team for now.
So he's asked about the wide receivers. He's like, hey, yeah, they're here for now. But I don't know. It could be like an addition by subtraction type of situation.
That's amazing.
Which is exactly
what it should have been. I don't know where they fell asleep yesterday or what.
Literally word for word what we on this show, yeah, specifically you.
Maybe he was listening.
I've been on board with this. Well, I don't know.
The podcast, he's listening to it
like
on the way to the press conference.
I bet on the Odyssey app.
It's like these guys were saying something that blew my mind.
Addition by subtraction. So word for word is, yeah, like how we're talking about it.
Correct.
And that's how the head coach of the Patriots is talking about that dumb wide receiver room.
Because wouldn't you just be like, hey, we like all the guys on the team. That's why they're still on the team. And we just got to get more out of them, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Instead, he's honest, which I respect. And he's like, yeah, these guys are on the team for now.
Okay. So I agree. I agree with the honesty
they
there.
They got to move on from one of these guys. Okay. You can't say that and then just go about your business the rest of the season.
Why haven't they?
I have no idea. I think
Elliot Wolf. That's,
I bet,
why.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If Mayo had his say, they're gone. Isn't that clear?
Well, Elliot Wolf yesterday, do you think was trying? So he reportedly was getting calls on a few of their good players.
Yep.
Didn't trade them.
Nope.
Fine. I'm sure he wanted to get something for those two, and I mean KJ Osborne and Tyquan Thornton, but you're not going to get anything. So is he like, well, if I'm not going to get anything, we'll keep him. And then Mayo's like, no, we're better off without him.
At 4:01,
yeah,
when no one gives you anything for Tyquan Thornton because they were never going to give
you
anything.
Wave them both.
Or KJ, exactly. At 4:01 yesterday, cut him.
So this has been your theory for a while. You think Elliot Wolf was high on Thornton out of the draft. Otherwise, he would have been long gone,
right? This is not to absolve Bill Belichick from the Tyquan Thornton pick,
yeah,
okay? I'm not one of these guys now trying to, like, relitigate Bill's tenure.
Bill actually was great every year at the draft.
Bill sucked at drafting. He sucked at drafting wide receivers. He deserved to lose his job, okay? All those things are true.
All right.
I also think it's true that Elliot Wolf was on board with the Tyquan Thornton pick.
Man, he must have been.
There's a reason he's still here. There's a reason that he's on this team. There's a reason he was getting so many reps at the beginning of the year. And I think after listening to Jerod Mayo, it's clear Mayo doesn't believe in him. So, yeah, I think Elliot Wolf had a hand, or at bare minimum, was on board with Tyquan Thornton, the prospect, which is embarrassing.
I don't understand how he went into this season and how he went about addressing the wide receiver room. It's baffling. Like, they
I do not either.
You know, like, if you just take it piece by piece, they had Kendrick Bourne coming back off an injury.
Mm-hmm.
They signed KJ Osborne. They re-signed Jalen Reagor. They, yep, were bringing back Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty, both that were rookies a year ago.
I think they were right about bringing Booty back, by the way, but I wasn't on board with that.
Yeah, they didn't have to.
I was like, why are you even messing around with this guy? Like, it turns out he was worth at least bringing back into camp and on the roster.
So you have like five guys that are like borderline. I mean, again, Kendrick Bourne better than the other guys, but like borderline NFL receivers. And then you use a second-round pick, which is a premium pick, and then even a fourth-round pick, which is nothing to sneeze at, also at that position. And you have all the – oh, and then, oh, by the way, Tyquan Thornton.
You want to get faster? You better get fast, guys.
That's Matt Groh. That's
so,
not really,
yeah, working, yeah, so that was Tyquan Thornton. So that's a guy who's now in his third year. So you start – you end camp with eight wide receivers, and none of them are great.
Actually, didn't Jalen Reagor technically?
Yeah, no, I included him. I included him.
Okay.
No, he was. No, I think he was on the roster
initially.
He initially made the roster,
and then he went to practice squad.
Yeah,
but like on game days,
and then he tweeted about being a Bugatti in a carport,
and then they said see you later. So yeah, they made a move then on a guy that might have been popping off. That was probably addition by subtraction, but it was just so bad. And the whole time we're looking at it like, all right, you have seven guys. It's still the worst or second worst receiver room in football.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the worst now because
if it's not the worst, like who's worse?
I thought the Chargers.
The Chargers is a bad room. It's better than this.
Ladd McConkey's had a game, and Quentin Johnson's had a couple games. So this is probably the worst wide receiver group.
I think it's the worst group. Yeah,
but you have seven of them
ended up there too.
Who?
Say it again.
Jalen Reagor.
Yeah,
Reagor
ended up there. They also liked KJ Osborne. So I don't know. I actually don't know what
Maybe
that says about
worse.
Their room.
Maybe they're worse.
But I like their room better than this one. Yeah, I didn't in the preseason, but I do now.
It's probably the worst one. They all think they're great, which is also like a hilarious side story
to this.
That's
the worst part of it.
Yeah, they think they're the best, and they're the worst. And they're just hanging on to them. So they still have all these guys as of right now. And you're like, all right, so who's going to be inactive? I'll tell you this. KJ Osborne isn't going to go quiet into the night being an inactive player the rest of the season. He was inactive last Sunday, but I think a part of it, everyone's like, oh, he's going to get traded. He's going to get dealt somewhere. Nope.
And he probably thought that.
Yeah.
He was such a pro about it.
Tyquan Thornton.
I'm sure he's getting texts from all his buddies about how much of a pro he is.
Tyquan Thornton's tweeting out Michael Jordan memes, like thinking that he's got the competitive nature, like the athletic ability of Michael Jordan.
Yep.
And then KJ Osborne's posting pictures of his buddy telling him he's good.
Yep. Make your daddy proud.
You're going to be so proud.
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 Yeah. Like those two guys, and they're still on the team? So what if they're inactive for eight more games? Like, what is that going to be?
Yeah, not good.
And then meanwhile, Jalen Polk gets to play, and he's just dropping passes or committing penalties.
So this, to me, is where Elliot Wolf's involvement in the Tyquan Thornton pick is relevant. This is where it's relevant. You can't just blame Belichick for it anymore. He keeps Tyquan Thornton here for a reason. I think he liked him as a prospect. He drafted Jalen Polk. We read you all the numbers yesterday. He's 127 or 128 out of 128 qualified receivers in a bunch of PFF advanced metrics.
Oh, out of the seven wide receivers on the roster right now, Elliot Wolf is on the hook for at least four of them.
Yeah.
He brought back Tyquan Thornton, didn't have to. He drafted Polk and Baker, and he signed KJ Osborne.
But to me, it's not just backward-looking. It's now forward-looking. It's like, okay, now you got to solve your wide receiver.
Sure.
Room. And his solutions are Jalen Polk. He was part of the problem with Tyquan Thornton. He targeted KJ Osborne. So, like, what confidence do you have? Even with all the money in the world in free agency and high draft picks, they're going to draft highly in the first round. Right now, they're ticketed for pick one.
Number
they're
going to
draft high in second round. They have multiple third-round picks.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different avenues to get a wide receiver. You could trade for one.
How much receiver will Travis Hunter play? And how soon can we find out?
What is your confidence level in Wolf getting that right?
It's low.
It's getting lower by the day.
No joke. The only... I think the
only... 0.0.
Sounds high.
The only great move Elliot Wolf has made to this point is drafting Drake May, which any idiot with a draft guide could have done.
I don't even think it was him.
No, okay, but I'm just saying, like, he's the GM. Yeah. All roster moves since he became the GM.
I give ownership more credit than him, but yes, outside of that, what's he done? Nothing.
No, but, like, anybody would have taken him. It was like the kid that doesn't show up to your fantasy draft and he gets auto-selected best available.
Okay,
that's what
happened. But they could have traded down, which is why I give ownership credit.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think ownership...
But they weren't going to stand for it.
That's why I bet Elliot Wolf did not want to draft Drake May at 3. I bet he wanted to trade down, and ownership said, you're taking the quarterback, Elliot, you dummy.
But even all the other roster moves that you look at, you're like, all right, well, Michael Onwenu is good. It's like, yeah, he's good, but they're playing him different positions. They're going back and forth. He was also their own guy. Didn't seem like there was a huge market for him elsewhere.
Panthers wide receiver room worse than the Pats, it might be.
It is now. They had Deontay Johnson to start the year,
and
though.
Thielen's coming back. Deontay Johnson and Thielen better than this. But
and Leggett. So to start the year, it was better. Now it might be the same or worse.
They got a kid from Holy Cross, too, as a rookie.
I like that.
And play a little bit. Coker?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with his work. Nice player?
I think that's his name.
You think it is?
I think so. Coker. Holy
you gotta be. If you're going to say it on the radio, you got to be pretty confident.
Jacob is giving me a giant thumbs up back there. That's right.
Jalen Coker.
How about that?
They have David Moore, Xavier Leggett, Adam Thielen coming off
that's
IR.
They
have four dudes.
That's a bad receiver.
David Moore. I feel like he's been in the league for like 4 years.
Is that
years.
The guy who was in Seattle?
No, that's not that guy.
No.
You're thinking of...
That is that guy.
You're thinking of Lance Moore.
No. I'm thinking of
Mara
David.
Darbo.
I'm thinking of David Moore. He was in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of that guy.
Yeah.
He's bounced around the league. He's still only 29. He's not that old. I think he's kind of old.
Okay, is that room worse than the Pats? That room.
Room is now, but again, they traded away their best guy.
Right.
So that's different. When they started the year with Deontay Johnson, they were better.
Definitely.
But okay, so you and the Panthers are in a dead heat.
Congratulations. So what's your confidence level they're going to write it out at that spot? Or write the ship, rather.
I think what Mayo said today kind of at least leads me to believe they will cut one of these guys. Or do you think he's going to apologize tomorrow for it?
That's a good point.
Addition through subtraction.
Here's the thing. They're just clearing
How are you going to say addition through subtraction?
About players on your roster?
Yes!
That's wild.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, especially like when you go another week and nothing happens, another week and nothing happens. Like, hey, coach, what'd you say?
Yeah.
Addition by subtraction. Well, we're all still here.
They either suck or their problems in the room, or in the Patriots' case, both. And so, and your coach is acknowledging
that. Addition through subtraction.
Through subtraction.
Just imagine being Stacey.
I didn't say through. I said by. So maybe he did tweak it.
Imagine
he's
Stacey James.
So you don't sue him.
Imagine me and the PR director of the Patriots with this guy, and it's like,
oh, what do you call him? Coach Stacey.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Coach Stacey.
Coach Stacey.
Imagine me and Coach Stacey, and it's like every time he hits the podium, like you know,
it's your
heart's in your throat, and he just is like. Addition by subtraction about players on your roster, Gerard. Like, you're not wrong.
Addition through subtraction.
But you don't.
I don't know what group it is.
It's like Trump speechwriters watching him, like, just stick to the script. Just like drinking. Like, oh God, here we go.
Here we go.
Very similar.
It's just that's not an enviable job these days. But, yeah, what's your confidence level? They write the ship there. 617-779-7937. How is Mayo? We like to keep track of this. Gerard Mayo.
Oh, he hasn't sounded great.
He's aging like a president.
Yes, he is.
Sounds like. I mean, when this man sits down
Speaking
at the podium.
Speaking of, he is.
He sits down at the podium and it does not sound healthy.
Good afternoon. All right.
Well, that was today?
Yeah. That was today. I've taken to monitoring what happens every week when he sits down on Wednesday, and it's always
Is it worse on Wednesday
pain.
Than the other days?
I think it is.
Why is that?
That was okay, the
so,
first one,
so
right?
That was when we started tracking this, because we're like, man, that guy just does not sound like...
That didn't sound super
Life
healthy.
Is going well.
Good afternoon. All right.
That's one where you're like, you know, you have to make like a weird loud moan and try to turn it into the words you're about to say. Like, yeah, all right.
Do you think he's, because we, I think we already established Keith. I think we think he's listening on the Odyssey app or something like that. We've already established this. Is it possible he's aware of like that grunt when he first sits down? He was trying to catch it.
I don't know.
He's trying. He's like, I can't do that again. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, you masked that pretty well, coach. Barely even heard that. He sounds super healthy. What the hell? That guy can't even sit down. Maybe he should just stand up.
He sounds like he just went 12 rounds.
Maybe stand up.
I have something for him. Halloween, get better batteries than Cat gets for the Jones household, but get a Halloween costume he can't sit down in.
No, but you can do that.
You can do a press conference standing up.
There's a podium there, or there was, right?
Yeah, actually.
He kind of changed this. Didn't Bill stand? I think Bill stood.
Yeah,
we never had an
right.
opportunity for him
you're
to groan
right.
into
Bill did stand. Good point.
Yeah.
Hart made a point about Drake May earlier this year. He was like, I love that he wanted to stand.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He didn't have to make that weird grunt. That's amazing. Like, that's aggressive.
From the start. Can I hear him from the start one more time? Just from the beginning.
Good afternoon. All right.
Also, it was 11:15 this morning. It wasn't afternoon yet.
Yeah, right. This team doesn't even,
dude's a mess.
This team doesn't even start work until like 2 o'clock every day.
One trip to London, the guy can't figure out what time it is anymore. Comes back, he's like, I'm still jet lagged. It's like, coach, that was like 3 weeks ago. Gotta get past that. I don't know what time it is. That's how he led that one press conference. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is.
What am I doing?
What happened?
And so like none
lost to the Jaguars.
Honestly, none of this helps. The grunts, whatever, but like none of this are funny. None of this helps when you're talking about the man's job security. Like call addition by subtraction. Yeah. It's like another thing
and
he steps in.
And like not even it would have been bad enough if you just said that about your roster overall, but they were like, what about the receivers? They asked him straight up about the seven receivers. And he's
addition
like, yeah,
through subtraction.
He's like, I don't know why they're all still here. What are they doing here? I didn't expect them to be
on
the team.
It's not because they're productive. I'll tell you that much. They're not doing much, these guys.
None of them catch.
They can't catch.
They won't shut up about how great they are. I don't know why they're on the team.
They won't fight for the ball at the end of the game.
Go ask Elliott. I mean,
who plays this weekend? I know it's a little early to look at it, but
same group as last week.
So they sit Tyquan Thornton and KJ Osborne?
Yes.
Because what the formula so far this year is two are healthy scratches. Well, I mean, Polk 1 week had a concussion, but two are inactive. One dresses and barely plays, and then another one plays like a medium amount, and then like two guys get like good run. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they've done throughout the year.
That's what it's going to be. I think it's officially going to be that now. Yeah.
So I feel like Pop and Booty and Kendrick Bourne have sort of taken on the mantle of like the most reps.
Yeah, and Javon Baker mixes in here and there. That's
I wonder
that's
if Booty.
It's
I wonder,
not great. It's not great, Gerard. I'm with you.
How do you think they felt about the last play of the game and Booty's lack of effort? Because you end the game, you're like, oh, what a shame he lost in overtime. And, oh, Drake May threw a pick. And, oh, three turnovers for May. And blah. But Booty just kind of like
gave up,
ran by the, like, yeah, had nothing to do with it. I wonder if they're mad about that.
So send him a message. But who's playing now? Like, now you got to play somebody in his place. So it's Baker?
Yeah, like, let's see that guy.
I don't think they're happy with his effort, is my point.
From all of
Phil Perry's reporting.
I blame Tyler Hughes.
His professionalism and lack thereof. Yeah. You blame Tyler Hughes?
Oh, he's dragging him down from the inside. I'm like every other coach on the team. Look at that guy.
I do think it's noteworthy that, like, a week ago, none of us really even knew the wide receiver coach's name.
Now he's on the hot seat.
Now Bedard dropped his name early in the week. Curran dropped it with us yesterday. Yeah. It is self-preservation, and it tells you, I think coaches down there are nervous. Personnel people are probably nervous because someone's paying for this with their job. They're that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Florio's openly speculating about it in his power rankings. It's not even like he writes a blurb about it. It's like his power. You can write anything he wants about the Patriots. Anything.
You can talk about the uniform.
Drake May.
Sure, Drake May. Good place to start.
Talk about anything you want on the Patriots, and Drake he writes May. This week. I don't have it in front of me, but it's something like, does Mayo survive the year? That's like his only, his only thought on the Patriots every single week.
I still say yes.
But you feel worse about
question
it.
Question
mark. And like every time he opens his mouth, you feel worse about it.
Man, I wouldn't feel good if I was one of the receivers on the team. I mean, he's calling them out.
And by the way, he's not wrong. Like, we feel this
no,
way.
No, addition I agree with him on this.
I'm just shocked a coach verbalizes
that. It is a wild thing to say.
He's offending his players. He's at odds with his GM. That's what that comment is.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. His GM did diddly squat at the trade deadline yesterday. How do you feel about it? And should the players, or the Patriots rather, have listened on some of the players they got calls about? Some of their good players, not easy ones like KJ Osborne or like Tyquan Thornton, they got calls about their good players and did nothing. Let's get into that with all your thoughts right after trending.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a Billy Lane. And nothing in this world is guaranteed, including for myself?
Okay. I guess that's true. I mean, he could just go full Joe Mazzulla. What does it matter? We're all going to be dead. You can answer everything that way.
But it's
Egyptian
like...
Egyptian through subtraction.
Egyptian through subtraction?
It's just, wow, okay. So yeah. even he's acknowledging it's not a guarantee he's back next year. Now, who knows if he really believes that, if he's just saying it. He's also acknowledging that coaches may not be back. So that was more from Jerod Mayo and just a tour de force earlier today. Wow. I like the text line, Keith, 37937. Mayo's press conference agenda. It's three steps.
Oh, perfect. That's good. Going with the game plan. Smart.
Yeah, you don't want too many boxes to check.
Nope.
Because then you start forgetting things.
Three-step plan?
Three is perfect.
All right, what do you got?
Mayo's three-step plan every time he hits the podium on Wednesday.
What does he have?
It's from the text line. Number one, groan.
Okay. Check today. Check.
Nails that.
Yep.
Number two, out-of-pocket statement.
That happens.
Yep.
Today was,
addition through subtraction.
Yeah, there it is.
Talking about the receiver room. Too many guys.
Number three, walk it back.
Tomorrow, walk it back. Rinse. The next day, whenever you talk again.
Rinse, repeat.
Hey, what I said, addition by subtraction, I wasn't talking about the team. You're like, wait, what?
I wasn't talking about the wide receivers that I was asked about.
We
that
like
I said,
the guys here.
Clearly, addition by subtraction with
love
them.
It.
No, that's not what I was saying.
I love it.
Okay, so three-step plan again.
Mm-hmm.
Grown, out-of-pocket statement, walk it back.
So far, so good. He's been doing that for about 9 weeks.
Oh, no, he's got that down. When we say, what does Jerod Mayo do? Those three things. Mm-hmm. That's it. I don't know what he does during the game.
No.
He's not very talkative. It doesn't seem like he's coaching anyone.
Just kind of watching.
Doesn't seem to be talking to anyone.
Just kind of taking the game
just
in.
Just kind of drinking the game in.
Raw dogs the game.
When we say, what does he do?
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Those three things. Those are what he does. When it comes to the trade deadline, Keith, and again, I think people are on edge with the organization, coaching staff included, as Mayo just referenced there.
Yeah, I would say so.
When it comes to the trade deadline, I do find this to be very interesting. Yesterday, Josina Anderson, good follow on Twitter.
Yeah, if you can.
For most of you out there.
Yep.
As for the Patriots, she said about the trade deadline, it takes two sides to make a deal. The Patriots are not going to give away any players, according to a source. Here are the players they're getting calls about. Christian Gonzalez.
Which is funny. I'm curious what team called and was like, would they trade him? He's like the only thing they have on defense to really keep.
You think they heard the interviews here and they're like, that guy is...
Gotta get him.
But it was the Commanders in Chief sniffing around on Lattimore.
That's a good point.
Yeah, true.
So who was calling about Gonzo?
I mean, the Patriots traded him to the Chiefs. Like, wait, what are you doing?
A lot of teams should be calling about him.
Yeah.
But why are they going to listen on Gonzalez? I acknowledge that. Keon White, Devon Godchow, Kyle Duggar. So it wasn't just, whatever, takes two to tango, Tyquan Thornton, we're about getting value. What were we really going to get for Tyquan Thornton? KJ Osborne. No, you had real decisions to make on some good players on the roster. Did they make the right call by holding on to those guys, or should they have done something?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been heartbroken if they traded any of them outside of Gonzalez. Drake May and Christian Gonzalez. After that, call about anybody, talk about anybody. What's it going to be? What are you going to get? I just don't think you're going to get anything for even those guys. And by anything, I mean a first or second day pick. Maybe there's a fourth or maybe a fifth rounder. Maybe there's a pick swap where you move up, that kind of thing.
Right, but you're saying anything of consequence.
Yeah, because I think you look at what some of the deals were done already. It was decent receivers getting traded for a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick that could be a fourth. So those guys I would probably keep. I thought maybe one team might convince themselves on Godchow and maybe give you a fifth rounder. Hey, we need a guy in the middle there. But the other guys, I think it's fine to keep them. Where I am with sort of Mayo and what a lot of other people are thinking is addition by subtraction is a legitimate thing. If there's guys that you want to see more of, or if there are a few guys that have been a problem in the locker room that aren't really a part of the solution at all, yesterday was an opportunity to move on. KJ Osborne, Tyquan Thornton, two less headaches for Alex Van Pelt and Jerod Mayo, and then you can assess the rest of that group better because those guys aren't there either gobbling up reps in practice or fighting for playing time in the game.
So it sounds to me, and I'm going to say, it sounds like Mayo and Wolf are at odds. Maybe that's too strong. But there's a little bit of disagreement there, and I've kind of felt that way all along.
Probably. I mean, this was a clear shot.
Right. So maybe you don't think it's too strong. I'll say they're at odds, okay? And phrase it however you want. They're not on the same page. Kraft's got to pick one. Who's he picking?
Oh, he's picking Mayo.
For sure?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, at least Elliot Wolf, for as bad as the roster is not sticking his foot in his mouth every time he's in front of a microphone.
He doesn't talk a lot.
No,
maybe
right.
He would.
But one is less publicly embarrassing than the other.
All right, one was hired.
Both seem like they're bad at their jobs. One publicly embarrasses you every week.
One was hired 5 years ago in secret by the owner. The other one just barely fell into the job because he was the last man standing.
Right.
So I think he's more committed to Jerod Mayo. I think both, to your point, have been bad. I think Kraft would view it as maybe he's the one that straight up told Elliot. If this is true, if Robert and Jonathan told Elliot, you're taking Drake May at 3, what could Elliot possibly get credit for other than not sticking his foot in his mouth?
Yeah, I mean, right.
At
least he listened to his bosses. He was, not insubordinate.
I think he'd be who did you get for the offensive line? Because, those guys would know the details about how much they really offered Ridley, how much they really offered Brandon Ayuk and all that stuff. Now, one guy did change teams, one guy didn't. But Elliot, I'm sure, has restrictions put in place by Robert. And so there's, to a certain degree, he might be safe because Robert's he is working within the parameters. But he's probably also saying, I expect you to get a better offensive line than this.
Yeah.
I expect you to get a few better players than this.
I do not give Elliot Wolf the full blame for free agency. Ownership shoulders a lot of that blame. They didn't spend. Right? Outside of all their bum-ass players coming back, they didn't spend on new players, new talent. They didn't upgrade the talent. And a lot of that is on ownership. But you said you thought the offensive line was fine, Elliot Wolf. You picked Chuks Okorafor. He blows.
That's true.
You needed to upgrade the wide receivers. You picked KJ Osborne in free agency. Of course he's responsible for the draft. And that looks like a mess outside of Drake May. And so, I get all that. They look at him and they go, what exactly do you do? I just don't know if they would. I don't think Mayo's a lock to come back. I don't think either one is. And again, one at least doesn't publicly embarrass you every single time he opens his mouth. I know Robert Kraft felt strongly about that hire.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I wonder how many excuses he
believed
makes for
in it, and he compared to finding his wives and things like this.
See, I think it's hard to walk that back
it
after
is,
1 year.
But it's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's worse than
it's
going
to be worse to it's in some ways it's worse to stick with it, Keith. If you know it's wrong and it's that big of a mess and every week it's a public embarrassment,
you're gonna have to kind of eat it one way or the other.
Yes.
So would you rather kind of rip the band-aid off?
Correct. Yeah. You know this isn't the long-term guy. I mean, if you feel that way and you know it's not the long-term guy, is there any reason to bring him back for a second year? No.
So
it's better to rip the band-aid off. Yes.
Is there head coach search going to look like the offensive coordinator search, where they don't have really anybody in mind. They don't really like anybody, or the candidates don't really like them. They offer next to nothing money wise, and then they're left with like the last man standing. I feel like if they move on from Mayo, there might be another 12 guys in line, and then who knows who you even end up with.
That's a good point.
So like, who do you, not that the replacement couldn't be better. I'm just saying, like, there's
let's say
no
it's your
guarantee.
Dream guy. Let's say it's your dream guy. Let's say it's Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
Let's say they
did
know.
You see that clip the other day?
Let's
somebody
say
tagged
know,
us in it.
Yes, actually.
Ben
yeah.
Johnson being like,
he's like, oh, I'm going to be a play caller.
If I'm a head coach, yeah, yeah. I'm going to be a head coach that calls plays because I love calling plays.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, give this guy all the money in the world.
Gerard Mayo loves groaning at the podium. Yeah. That's all
he's
he
never
loves
called it. A play
no, no, no.
in his life.
No, never even thought about it.
Nope.
So,
yeah, Ben Johnson, I would, if you know it's him, you're going to probably have to throw a bag
yeah,
at
let's
him.
Say, and I'm not saying this is realistic, but okay. Let's say Ben Johnson's like, I love Drake May. I can coach any quarterback in the league. I love Drake May. I want to coach him.
Yeah.
And the Patriots get wind of that. They should blow out Gerard Mayo.
100%.
Regardless of how bad of a look it is that Robert Kraft handpicked him.
No, no, no. You didn't know,
do that.
Be like, oh, we didn't know Ben Johnson was available. We love Gerard. We thank him for his time.
Is there anybody else you like? Like, you're big on Ben Johnson.
Not to
anybody
that,
would be.
No, not to that level.
You know who I like a lot? I like Liam Cohen quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
In Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
I like that. I like what I see out of that offense. I like that they're making do without all these receivers. Baker yeah. Mayfield seems even better. I was giving Canales a lot of
dude.
Credit for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's doing even better.
They're getting even more out of Baker Mayfield, and he hasn't had Godwin or Evans the last couple of weeks. They were competitive with the Chiefs. That's another guy I'd be really, I don't know how realistic it is, but that's another guy I'd be really interested
and
in.
And then this is in a bizarre
and that's
twist.
That's a guy who was constantly linked to the Patriots because yeah. he was a UMass guy.
Right.
He's a McVay guy. That's an interesting one.
So this is sort of that unique spot, which I wouldn't have anticipated a few weeks ago, but where you keep Van Pelt and you move on from Mayo, and then that way you have the offensive, the play caller will change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the title, like when he was in Cleveland, Stefanski called the plays, but Van Pelt was the OC.
Yeah.
So if Drake May likes Van Pelt, and if we want to give Van
Pelt. That's a way to do it.
And if we want to give him credit at all, which he deserves some, for maybe being a good quarterback coach. He has more experience as a quarterback coach than anything else in the NFL. And if Drake May likes him, and so all week of practice, you know, he's in your ear, he's helping you with stuff. And then game day rolls around, and you have Ben Johnson, that freaking genius, calling the plays, and Van Pelt going back to what he was doing before. That could work.
No, that's the he's basically a glorified quarterback's coach. That's
and then
a good role
you don't,
for him.
You don't have to be the franchise that says we have our fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years.
Right.
You're like, oh, so we have consistency here, even yeah. though obviously the play caller is different.
Yeah, and probably the whole playbook and everything else. But yeah, but I understand
that,
the point.
But that would be worth doing.
Yes.
If you're doing it to that, because look at what Detroit's doing. And it's insane
I
on
don't
offense.
Totally rule out. Maybe Ben Johnson wouldn't work because he's going to have his pick of the litter and he passed on jobs last year. But I don't totally rule out there's a play caller out there is like, yeah, I'll work with Drake May.
Yeah,
like
why
they're
not?
Like to me, they're more attractive this cycle than they were last year. Not that they did a hiring process, but they're more attractive this cycle. All the offensive coordinators who turned them down, I don't think they turned them down now.
But those, well, no, now they've at least seen it at the NFL level. But they had to have known they were likely to take Drake May,
probably. But
or Jaden Daniels,
they didn't know
whoever
what it,
was there.
They didn't know what it looked like, and they didn't officially know the Patriots were taking that, and. Yeah.
I agree. Mean, it looks better now
so
than it did before.
I think you feel strongly about it. The wide receiver room, not so much.
It stinks.
What else did Mayo say about
he's asked about Polk,
wide
right?
receivers? Yeah. What'd you say about Jalen Polk there today, Gerard?
A mental hump for Jalen. Do you feel like he's over that?
Yeah. You know, I think he's over it. And look, he has to go out there today and practice hard and perform. And he'll get opportunities based on what he does in the week of practice.
Okay.
All right. So it was a little bit of like a leading question.
Yeah.
But.
You talked about the mental hurdles before. Has he gotten over them?
He's yeah. Based on what?
Well, we're going to find out on the practice field this week.
What? So when did he say that? Do we remember when he said he had a...
Yeah, wasn't it after the Jags game?
All right. So that was a game in which he had 3 targets, no catches.
And he fell down on a whip route.
Yep.
On the
it was October
conversion.
14th.
Yeah, I think it was the Jags game, if I'm not mistaken, when he said that.
Oh, he said it at October 14th. So he said it right after the Houston game.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the Houston game. My mistake.
So he had 1 catch for 4 yards in that game. Okay?
Yeah.
So then he had a mental hurdle. Then they go to London. He has a horrible game, right?
Somehow worse, yeah.
Horrible game.
Yeah.
Then doesn't play against the Jets because he's got a conky.
Yeah.
And then he comes back the next week, 1 target, 0 catches, 2 penalties.
Mm-hmm.
He's over it. He's had... 0 catches since then in an NFL game. Since he made those comments, he has 0 catches.
But he's over it.
I don't think so. It might be worse.
Yeah.
Two penalties in there at least.
I was going to say, 2 penalties, 4 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards, 0 anything. He's over it? You probably shouldn't have said that he was dealing with it to begin with, but you did. So you put that out there, and now you can't double down on it because remember his reaction? I don't have mental problems.
I don't have mental problems. No, he just said you have a mental hurdle, right. A mental block with catching it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he hasn't gotten over it.
No, it doesn't seem that way. And it was actually giving you an out, by the way, Jalen Polk. He's saying he doesn't suck. He's just dealing with a mental block. And Jalen Polk took that personally.
That guy. Yikes.
I mean, at least he didn't fan the flames. And he's like, no, I think he's still dealing with it.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, I guess with Jerod Mayo, we actually have to give him credit for that.
No, that's why you got to ask him everything, because you have no idea what he's going to say. You have no idea what he's going to come up with this week.
617-779-7937. We'll continue with more next on Jones and Keefe. Drake May earlier today talking about going against Caleb Williams this weekend. Assuming Caleb's going to play, right? He had the ankle issue the other day, but supposedly he's going to be fine.
Yep.
So we discussed this earlier in Would You Rather here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Would You Rather Wednesday, also a Celtics Wednesday. We'll get back to Jason Tatum, revenge game tonight against Steve Kerr. What do you expect? Big game, of course. I think that goes without saying. Any added antics for the Celtics tonight, we'll get back into that. But this idea of Caleb Williams, Drake May, the top of the draft, who got it right, who got it wrong, do you prefer, really there's no one getting it wrong, but if you're going to redraft it, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, how would you prioritize those three?
I think it's a pretty good order. I mean, just from watching every snap of Drake May, and I know Jaden Daniels is killing it so far this year, I could flip those two, and even it might go in reverse order of how they've played, but just I liked Caleb Williams the most in the draft prep and all that lead up going forward. I thought Jaden Daniels was great. I think there's a little bit of the way he's built compared to the way Drake May's built. If they're both going to run, how many years is Jaden Daniels going to be able to do that versus Drake May? Although, you get hit enough, maybe it doesn't really matter just how big you are, the way Drake May was getting slammed around last week. I like both those guys. And all along, I was thinking this very well could be the draft class from a few years ago where they're all good. Not the draft class from Mac Jones where they're all bad, right? Like we've seen it where there's been enough drafts, and specifically looking at the quarterbacks, where there's an example for everything. 2 hits, 2 misses, 4 hits, 4 misses. Like what we've seen it all. This might be one where the first 3 guys are all good and every team is happy with the pick that they have.
Yeah.
We're halfway through year one, and I think it's fair to say all 3 teams are happy.
I agree.
8 games in.
If you're like a Bears fan, Brian Furzoka, who works here, like I don't think he's regretting the Caleb Williams pick, but you might be looking at it going,
"Oh, Jaden Daniels looks good."
Jaden Daniels, threw a Hail Mary against our team. Maybe I would rather have Jaden Daniels. Maybe you're looking at Drake May and you feel that way. So the one thing to me that works against Caleb Williams, I'm not saying there's no ceiling with him. Like, obviously, there's a ton of ceiling. I think he's the best pure talent in the draft. He has a lot around him. Like, he has a lot going for him. He has, DJ Moore is a prima donna.
So, I thought he... Go ahead, but I'll... Go ahead.
But, like, what he has around him is so much more than Drake May. It's not funny. And I think May, like, consistently has looked better than Caleb Williams. Now, Caleb Williams is winning games. He's 4-4. They've lost 2 in a row. Caleb Williams has had some dud games. I don't know that Drake May has had dud games like that.
No.
Caleb Williams had games where he looks completely lost and like he doesn't belong on an NFL field. Drake May has not had those, and May has nothing around him. Now, you think the Bears supporting cast is overstated? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, and I was right there with everybody. I thought the Bears were going to be a playoff team this year. I thought that he had the perfect setup around him and all of that stuff. I think Keenan Allen's washed. I think DJ Moore is more of a problem than he is part of the solution. Roma Dunze is a rookie, and I think he's going to be good.
Dunze had a really good week last
year. He's a rookie. Swift is good. And even Cole Kmet's good, so he has way more
than
Drake May.
Kmet or Henry?
Oh.
Kmet.
Yeah, Kmet.
Yeah. And so I think
a massive gap.
I think that's close, but even where you look at it and go, the Patriots have a good NFL tight end.
Yeah.
The Bears have a better one.
So I
think it's a better supporting cast for Caleb Williams.
It is. Well, yeah, because I think Drake May is the worst.
And if you give Drake May that supporting cast, he should look even better theory.
Yes, but if you add everything up, the Bears and the Patriots might be closer than I ever would have imagined. Both have bad offensive lines. Both have bad coaches. Matt Eberflus should be fired. And Shane Waldron, I don't think players really like.
No, that's a good point.
Shane Waldron.
They have bad play callers, yes, and defensive head coaches who are in over their heads.
So that's, yeah, a tough combo. So, yes, I would rather have Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen in that group. But he's been sacked a bunch because his offensive line is atrocious. I don't think the play caller is putting him or even those receivers in the best spot.
I'm curious to watch Caleb this weekend.
Yeah, same.
Like, really sit down and watch him. I see the highlights. Yeah, yeah. They've been on national TV, so I have seen him. But, like, really sit down and watch it. I'm curious how much of the sacks are on the offensive line and how much of it is him Deshaun Watson style, yeah, like running around, holding the ball. Even Brissett did this. Running around, holding the ball, and then taking sacks because you're trying to make a play. In his case, that's not what Brissett was trying, uh-huh, to do. But holding onto the ball and running around back there, I'm curious to watch that.
Do you know how many times he's been sacked this year? I got trivia questions for days.
Okay, good. I like this. So they played eight games.
Name them sacks. How many of them sacks?
It's a very personal game. this is not a game you should be allowed to play in 2024.
Grab those sacks.
20.
In eight games, he has been sacked 29 times.
Wow.
The only two quarterbacks who have been sacked more.
Jacoby Brissett.
C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
30 times, and he's played one more game.
And he had eight in the last one.
Who's Stroud?
Yeah. And by the way, that one, like, I love C.J. Stroud. That's exactly what I'm talking about. C.J. Stroud ran into a million of those.
Yeah,
he's
just, yeah, eating the ball.
Yeah.
And then the great Deshaun Watson in seven games has been sacked 33 times.
Nice.
And that's mostly on him. So, yeah, he's getting sacked. He's getting killed a lot. The offensive players in Seattle weren't exactly upset that Shane Waldron left.
No.
And now in Chicago, I think they're having problems. So I remember right after the draft saying, like, And yesterday, even we were talking about, you know, has the Patriots kind of screwed Drake May in this whole process? And the answer is yes. I thought the opposite was true in Chicago. I was like, they're doing everything possible to help a number one pick quarterback.
I'm not sure you're like, number one quarterback has ever had so much entering the league.
Yeah,
the first quarterback drafted overall, the number one pick. I'm not sure they've ever had that much around them in the history of the NFL.
Yeah. I think, though, I certainly have overvalued. I think Keenan Allen may have just sort of hit the wall. Like, he's good. He's not what he was before. DJ Moore seems to be a problem. But, yeah, it'll be great to watch these guys head-to-head, just like it was a great matchup to see Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. Neither guy played amazing in that game, and it literally took a Hail Mary to beat the Bears. So if the Bears just play one last defensive play, we're talking about ugly game, but Caleb Williams beats Jaden Daniels.
Let me tell you this about the game, and we'll get more to like game preview stuff later in the week, but you're catching the Bears at a good time. Like, Eberflus, I think he's skyrocketed in those next coach fired listings. Like, I think he's passed Mayo on BetAG.
Oh, has he?
I think he has.
But similar to Sala, that was another guy that I was like, why are you starting the year with him?
Good question.
Like, but they're 4-4 right now, so they're kind of teetering. Still last place in that good division.
They're 4-4. They've lost two straight. They dropped that Hail Mary game. Let's see how much that snowballs. They looked dead against Arizona last week. Caleb Williams isn't 100% with the ankle injury.
Yeah.
You might be catching the Bears at a good time, would be my only point. I'm not picking the Patriots in this game, but I would acknowledge you might be catching them at a good time.
Their schedule, the Bears?
Yeah.
So they're 4-4 right now, right? They've lost two straight games, as you said. So
you know they have like more Green Bay and Minnesota and Detroit on their schedule.
I don't know what it is. I'm guessing, just looking at it, it's the toughest schedule the rest of the way. So they haven't even really played division games yet, and they're in the best division. So they're 4-4 after the Patriots game, which they have to have. Packers, Vikings, Lions,
ugh.
49ers, Vikings, Lions, ugh. Seahawks, Packers.
Wow.
That's they haven't played any division games.
Where's the Seahawks game?
It's home, at least.
So they're probably favored against Seattle. Other than that, they're probably not favored in a game.
The day after, and it's a short week.
I mean, sorry, outside the Pats, they're probably not favored in a game after the Patriots.
Probably not.
Outside of Seattle.
That's crazy. That's a rough go.
Yeah, that is.
They needed to be better than 4-4.
But you are still taking Caleb over Drake May.
Yeah, as of right now, I'm not going to change my tune. I mean, eight games in.
Here's where we agree.
Eight games for Caleb and, what, three games for Drake May?
That's where we agree, though. Like, neither of us have seen enough in the first half of this year, the first half of a season of their careers. Neither of us have seen enough to change our mind either way.
Well, neither guy is Bryce Young did.
Correct.
Where you watch, if you happened to like Bryce Young last year, you watched him play for a few weeks, you're like, oh, no.
I like Drake May better than Caleb Williams coming into the draft.
So
you
stick
like
with him.
You like Caleb better than Drake. Nothing. I haven't seen enough to sway my opinion one way or the other.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, that gap has closed a lot.
Yeah, no, he's better than I thought.
But I'd still take Drake.
Yeah. I don't hate that. And then the fact that all three could be good is, you know,
it's a good sign. You got a quarterback in the right year.
Yep.
And it's looking like next year is the wrong year, and it's a maybe not a great year to trade back. And
so the Jets are
going
to be trying to grab one of these.
Exactly. It's a bad year to be like the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
The Titans need a quarterback. You know, Jacksonville might be starting Mac Jones this week, for God's sakes.
Ugh.
It's a bad year to reset at quarterback in next year's draft. 617-779-7937. Celtics don't need to reset anything. They do get a potential revenge game. It is a revenge game for Jason Tatum tonight. What do you expect against Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors? We'll get back into it next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.